If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11 as we go through the book of Matthew chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Just to recap, when I started this chapter, we got through six verses. But Jesus gives us three testimonies. First, the testimony concerning John the Baptist. Second, the testimony concerning the unbelievers. And then thirdly, Jesus' testimony concerning himself. And it says in verse 1 through 6, just to recap, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in the city. So Jesus right off the bat gives us a mandate to follow him. What did he do? He was preaching and teaching in the cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one? Or do we need to look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." How come John's in prison? This is John the Baptist, who at one time said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He claims Jesus to be the prophet, the sacrifice, the priest, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now he's in jail. He questioned the leaders at the time who had married Antipas and Philip. He had married Herodias and had left Philip and married his half-brother Antipas. So he questioned the marriage, and he's thrown into prison. And now, listen, in his circumstances, he begins to question, is Jesus the one? And so often, man looks at his circumstances and doubts and begins to question, does God love me? Does he care? Does he have the power? Is he concerned? Does he know what's going on? Has he left me? You ever been there? Jesus was actually in the boat with the disciples. And the storm, it says, was just raging. And the water was coming over the boat. And they run to Jesus screaming. And these were fishermen. These weren't people who were not normally on the water. And Jesus was sleeping. Why was Jesus sleeping? And I love to consider this, because Jesus was living in the kingdom realm. And in the kingdom realm is peace. When we consider who we are with Christ, God loves us, his Spirit is with us. Whether we die or we stay here, he is with us, and there's total peace. I read Proverbs every day. There's 31 of them for each day of the month. And today, one of them says that the heart that is full of joy, I'm paraphrasing it, has a continuous feast. The heart that is full of joy has a continuous feast. In other words, the joy of the Lord and the promises of God that are for us are not dictated by our situations or our feelings and our emotions. I've always told my sons, don't make decisions and don't live on your feelings and your emotions. Why? Because they change. They change. In my wedding, I had seven men next to me. Some of those were my brothers and others were friends. I would die for my bros, my friends. Man, they were so close. I don't see any of them today. So what was so important for me back then, feelings and emotions, are really nothing to me today, because those feelings and emotions change. And so when we hold fast to the promises of God, no matter what our circumstances are, we have that joy in our hearts. Now things may be going bad, right? This doesn't mean that life is not hard. Life is hard. Life is very difficult. And it's even more difficult for some other people. And yet God is good and heaven is real. And the Spirit of God dwells within the believer. And in that Spirit is the peace and joy of the Lord. Now we can let everything around us dictate to how we feel, right? Your team's winning. All right, my team's winning. They lose. Oh man, I can't believe it. What happened? One touchdown, your whole mood has changed, right? But in reality, we don't want to live in that realm of feelings and emotions, but we want to live in the realm of truth. In the kingdom realm, there's peace. So John's in prison, and he begins to question, His circumstances are causing him to do what? To doubt. And he sends people to Jesus. Are you the one? Or is there somebody else? Do I need to go to a priest to ask for forgiveness of my sins? Do I need to go to Mary to pray for me? Or is Jesus the one? Well, ask yourself that. Because so often we run to other people. Oh, I need to go to this person because they got a really good prayer life. Well, you know, I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. Go to them and pray. But you have access to the King yourself. You don't need to see the senior pastor, not the associate, but the senior. No, no, no. Matter of fact, the associate probably has a better prayer life than I do. You have access right to the King. And there is no mediator between God and man except, say it, Jesus Christ. There is no mediator. Now, that's not to say that we don't pray for one another and pray on others' behalf. I'm not saying that. Don't take that out of context. But John's situation is causing him to question and causing him to doubt. Are you the one? And I love Jesus' answer. What does he say? Go and tell them what you have seen with your own eyes and what you have heard. Now, how many saw that video of the weather guy just the other day? It's all over Facebook. Some of you might not have seen it. But he's standing like this, and he's pretending like the wind is just blowing him away. And in the background, two guys are walking like this. How many of you saw that? It's foolishness, right? He's trying to make it look worse than it is, and he didn't realize that he was. Listen, and it's a perfect illustration, because I don't have to make things up. I don't have to embellish the things of God. I can speak about the forgiveness of my sins and how God had took that guilt off my shoulders, and with that I have peace. I don't have to make things up. I don't have to trick people that God's making my arm grow and all this other stuff. And if you've seen those videos, you would say, oh, God, forgive us. The Bible and the Word of God stands by itself. And I'm to tell others, and this is what is a testimony, what you've seen and what you've heard. Now, you know the story, and I've told it several times, that after I got saved, my brother's getting married, and he's having a bachelor party, and I said, I'm not going. And I got a lot of feedback from people. What do you mean you're not going? But I didn't go to my brother's bachelor party. And about a year later, he gets saved. And here's what he said. It was nothing you ever said, but it's what I saw you do. If you didn't come to my bachelor party, something happened to you. And it's that simple. It's that simple. I was blind, now I see. God forgave me, and now I have peace with my Maker. His Spirit dwells within me, and I can walk in victory. We're born body, soul, and spirit, right? But when we become believers, he turns that upside down. It's the spirit, soul, and the body. Now the spirit's at the top. The spirit is in charge. And I can walk in victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he loves us. And he paid that penalty of eternal death so that we could live with him forever. Go and tell what you've seen and what you've heard. What has God done in your life? Tell people. You don't have to make it up. Oh, I was so bad. You were just as bad as everybody else. You see the embellishment of things on television because they want reaction. They want you to as if God's word can't stand alone, right? Is God's arm too short? Can he not hear? Can he not see? Does he have not enough power? Go and tell. Listen, here's what happens with the storm. It was coming at a 4. Everybody said so. 4, 4, 4. Then once it hit land, it was going to go to a 3. What happened to the storm? I believe that the prayers of the Christians slowed it down. I believe that. Now, man's going to say, oh, well, you know, they embellished that. It wasn't as strong as it was. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't discount God. He's the one who controls that storm. You know, you've heard it say, well, these storms have a mind of their own. They don't. They absolutely don't. They are guided and directed by lows and highs that are around them. They are in total control. But who's in total control of it all? God. We have a wonderful testimony. What God has done and what he's doing. Now listen, I spoke yesterday briefly. Alan was an older man and God had called him home and he had desired to teach and have a position, not for the position for, but the desire to teach. He wanted to teach at a platform and he came up here and he taught twice on our Wednesdays and he taught at Andrew's church as well. But he had a desire to teach. He wanted to speak about the word, right? Now, I have this platform today, but I won't have it forever. And there'll come a time that I won't have the platform to be a teacher and a pastor. Whenever that is, I don't know. And so Alan had that. He was a pastor of a couple churches, and he had tent revivals and things like that. But now in a different stage of his life, a different season, he didn't have that platform, but he desired that. But you know what he did? Pastor Ron taught Wednesday, and we're going to go over this a little bit this Wednesday, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that God's desire for us is that we would bear fruit. Now, we think of fruit in numbers, like how many people did I minister to and how many people got saved. Are you with me? You know what I'm talking about? How many people did you invite in church or how many people did you tell about Jesus today, right? That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about that. He's talking about fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, love, gentleness, long-suffering, and self-control. That's the fruit that he's talking about, Galatians 5. That is the fruit that we are to bear. And Alan, at his age, was bearing much fruit. So you can't say, oh, well, you know, I don't have any influence around people and by myself, I only know a few people. That's not what he's talking about. The fruit that you're going to bear is from the Holy Spirit. And joy is going to pour out of you in love and compassion and grace because everybody around you has got an issue or a problem with something, but you're going to be this wellspring of the living water that's coming out of you. Are you doing it? Did you know that's what it was? It's not how much money you're going to bring into the church or what bands you got to come and play. It's about the joy and the peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit that pours out upon you. So no matter where you are, no matter what platform you have, we all have a platform. We're going to produce an abundance of fruit of the Spirit of God. And not to get in detail today, I'll do that Wednesday. But the Holy Spirit isn't some force that's going to make you run around like a fool and roll on the ground. Because you've seen that on television. And they equate all this to the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is what? I read it. It was the last one. Self-control. We didn't have self-control as in our BC days. The body would say jump. We'd say how high? Right? Go here. Okay. Do this. All right. Right, drink this, okay, smoke this, all right. But now the fruit of the Spirit that dwells within you gives you self-control, gives you power to overcome the physical. Not the opposite, that the Holy Spirit's going to make you do these crazy things. Now, I've watched some unbelievable stuff on television and on YouTube, and they say it's the Holy Spirit. I disagree because of what God's Word says, not what I say. So it gives us that self-control to overcome the physical. And so Jesus here, I'll move on. Jesus says, go and tell. Go and tell them what I did in your life. Go and tell what you've seen and what you've heard. And that could be as simple as, hey, you know, I was just reading the Bible and I read something and God showed me something amazing that I didn't see before. And I read that 10 times. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And the fruit of your life is what? Joy, peace, love, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. I think I got them all, but go to Galatians 5, right? And you can produce that. And this is what he's talking about. Not that you have to go out and do something. How many of you thought that in the past, that you had to go out and do all these things, right? Of course. But that's not what he's talking about. Now, the results of that fruit is you're going to go out and do these things. As the Lord leads, as he enables, as he gives you the platform, as the Holy Spirit leads and directs. So I was with this man for, he was our driver. He was a retired Grand Rapids policeman, and he loves the Lord, and he's an evangelist. And I was amazed to see that every, and it's a different type of evangelism. Every person that we came in contact with, he engaged in a conversation about the Lord. And it wasn't like, hey, you know Jesus or you're going to hell, right? He didn't say that. It was just like, hey, let me ask you a question. Or, hey, did you know? And I was just amazed at it. And I was so encouraged by it. I'm not that person. I can't do what he does. That's his platform. That's his ministry. That's his gift. But I told him, I said, man, I've never seen anybody engage people like you do. And it's effective the way he does it. And so he's going and telling, as Jesus says here. So Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. In Isaiah 35, it says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. So that Jesus had already fulfilled that. He tells them now, go and tell. Go and tell them what you've seen and heard. And that is the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah, because Jesus was the coming Messiah. It's amazing. And you've heard me say before, I don't have to go out and prove to you or anyone else that it's true. The Lord will do that. I just need to speak the truth, right? And I need to go and tell what I've seen and I heard. What I've seen and heard. I've seen the Lord change my life. I'm not the person I was. I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere near it, but I certainly is not who I was. And neither are you. And even though you may struggle with something, the fact that you're struggling with it is that the Holy Spirit is helping you fight through this. Paul the Apostle says, these things I want to do, man, I don't do them. And these things that I don't want to do, I keep doing them. What a wretched man that I am. And this is encouraging to us, right? And he answers that question. Who can save me from this body? Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our testimony. And so we speak the truth to others. So let's get into the testimonies Jesus gave. The first testimony of John, as they departed, verse 7 through 11, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out and see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are kings in kings' houses. But what did you go out and see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there are not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow, what does that mean? What is he talking about? If John is so great, he is the least in the kingdom, is even greater than him. Let's talk about it. So he says, as they departed, John's disciples, Jesus waits for them to leave. And I would have probably told them to tell John, encourage him. But the truth is, God doesn't tell us too much so that we have all this pride. We don't know everything, right? If we did, we'd want to show everybody how much we know, right? Because a little bit that we know, some of us have a little pride. Oh, I gotta straighten this out. Let me tell you about that, right? Right? How much do we know? If I handed out a sheet of paper and said, write everything you know on this paper, how many pages would it be? Just a couple, right? We don't know that much. Mine would be a quarter of a page. But Jesus says of John, listen, he's immovable. He's a reed shaken. I like what Chuck Smith says. Blessed are the flexible, for they won't be broken. He's a reed shaken. He's tough. He's a man in soft clothes. He's a prophet. A prophet, yes, but more than a prophet, he's a forecast in Malachi to come. He's the greatest human being up to this point in history. Wow. And yet, verse 11, it says, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So tune in. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And so in the kingdom, what is he talking about? What kingdom is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom age, the church age in which we live now. Even the least of us is greater than John. Why? Unlike the Old Testament law, the New Testament, with its power and its Holy Spirit grace, because we have the understanding of the things of John in the Old Testament, the prophets could not know. Now the Holy Spirit has empowered us. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. John dies before Jesus is crucified and before he's risen again. And so John the Baptist was a prophet of the Old Testament speaking about the coming of the New Testament Christ, right? But we are priests, listen, priests of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. The law and the prophets, the law brought death, but grace brings life. And so he says, greater are you, greater is your message, greater is your power, because you are prophets of the New Testament. John was not. John was not born again of the Spirit. He was a believer. It doesn't make him any lesser of a child of God. But we have been empowered, and our testimony is the new covenant of grace and life. The kingdom age is now. The Holy Spirit has come. Jesus has poured his Spirit out. And because we have been allowed to live in this kingdom age, we understand the plan of God. They didn't know the things that they wrote. Isaiah had no idea what he was writing. Daniel, when he writes in the book of Daniel, he speaks about the 70s. He had no idea what he was writing about. And the Bible says that those, the prophets and priests, they wish they understood the things that we do. Paraphrasing. Now we have the whole story unfolded before us. Right? What's going to happen when the church is raptured? We know. We absolutely know. We know the timeline, right? When the church goes, we know the Antichrist is revealed. And we know that he makes a treaty with the nation of Israel. So, in their time, what happened to the Jews? Listen, before 1948, you speak about the nation of Israel. The nation of who? There was no nation of Israel. But we have experienced that prophecy coming true. 1948, Israel's now a nation. We're also watching the signs and the wonders. We've had tremendous signs in the skies with the planets and such. What does it mean? Well, he says you'll see signs and wonders in the end times. We've watched things happen. The blood moons, the Revelation 12 sign. It was there. We saw it. We saw it. It's gone now. It's not going to happen again. What does it mean? We're in the end times. We know that. Ezekiel 38 and 39, we're watching the players are on the field right now. And what's interesting is the news is not reporting what's happening over there and the bombings and all the things that are happening in the Middle East. You see nothing on the news. Russia, Syria, and Iran have never cooperated together. They're doing it now. And the scripture says that Damascus will be a heap of rubble. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39. And here's what it says. It says that the body counters, these guys are going to go around and they're going to count the bodies and they're going to mark them, but don't touch them for 6 or 7 months. What is that picture of? Radiation, right? There's going to be a conflict that happens in the Middle East, which I believe will be the event that causes the Antichrist to rise up to make that peace in the Middle East. Well, where are we? Well, we've been raptured already. Now, I don't know when, at what point in that conflict, whether here when the bomb goes off, I have no idea. What I do know is the Antichrist will not be revealed until that which holds it back is taken away. And that is the Holy Spirit. And where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In the believers, in us. And it speaks about the rapture of the church. We're going to be harpazoed. Boop! Harpazo means a snatching away. In a twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. Are you waiting? Are you anticipating? Well, I certainly am. And the Bible tells us that we should be too. We should be watching and waiting and excited. Why? We are kingdom people. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. He calls us ambassadors of the King. We're here. An ambassador speaks upon behalf of a nation it represents. We represent the kingdom of God, and we are here as ambassadors speaking about our King. Isn't that great? And God has revealed this to us at this time. They didn't know this in the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, they were confused. They didn't know. And then when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit then came. And the man Peter, who denies him three times, says, "I never knew the man." He begins to curse, and a little girl says, "Hey, aren't you one of those?" "No!" This man steps up now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he gives the gospel. And 3,000 people get saved. How did that happen? How was he so wise? Because he was walking with Jesus. And his Holy Spirit gave him wisdom, understanding, encouragement, spoke to him through power. He didn't fear. He trusted. Who did he trust in? His own abilities? No. He didn't say, "Look what I did, 3,000 people got saved." No, he praises the King. And we are representatives of the King. And I pray today, because we're going to close here, I pray today that you have captured a little bit of something that you didn't know before, or you've been encouraged. That we have a message. That when Jesus tells those disciples, he's telling us too, go and tell what you've seen and heard. And then before he leaves, at the end of this book, Matthew 28, he says, now you go and make disciples, followers of me. How does he say do that? He says this, teach them everything I've taught you. Teach them everything and baptize them. So what I love about our Calvary ministries, and not everybody's doing this. There are some that do, but not everybody's doing it. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, you are reading the scriptures with me. Now, denominations may differ in agreement on some prophecies, but we're teaching the Word of God. And so now we are to go and teach others what Christ has taught us. And I pray today that you've been encouraged, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the scriptures. We're not waiting for another Messiah to come and save. He has come. That's why there is no sacrifices. There is no temple. He is the one, and he is the fulfillment of prophecy.